the show. Excited that you're with us today. A lot happening. He's missed the first hour. Was getting a little mouthy. Was sounding off about Arctic Frost. We've just received more documents regarding just that, and it's got me fired up. Got me fired up on this Wednesday morning, because obviously, folks, it's just like, I mean, how much more of this are we going to see before we start seeing some criminal charges follow up on all of this? And I've been waiting a very long time for just that. And I know you all have at home as well. So we're learning more about that. I'll go over the overview on that front. Arctic Frost, new document dump from the House Judiciary Committee. So far, we know, obviously, that Jack Smith's office was utilizing the FBI field offices to target Americans, including Alex Jones, who it looks like it may have been an email containing Alex Jones's cell phone, according to the subject line that we see there. I'll be doing more digging on that later on this afternoon privately, and I'll bring you the very latest on tomorrow's show. I'll also be on Alex Jones's show today to dig into that with him as well. We'll also be talking about, you know, how this costs American taxpayers about over $16,000 to conduct those 40 interviews that they did over at Arctic Frost. And there's also a bunch of people who are listed as targets. I guess that would make sense. Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman, Steve Bannon, and then other potentials. Ed Martin, who is now running the weaponization division over at the DOJ. He's on the list. Jeff Rosen, Dan Scavino as well. A lot of names on that list. So that's what the interesting part in all of this is. We're learning more and more about that. We'll keep digging into that. I've got a couple of calls we'll be jumping on later today to kind of learn as to what a lot of this means. A lot of it was taken out of context. So you just see like these names being floated around, but you don't know exactly what they were looking for. You don't know exactly what was obtained. And I think that's the key point in all of this, because again, why would they want Alex Jones's phone records? Unless there was a story that Alex reported and you wanted to know who the sources were. And it looks to be linked to a civil lawsuit against Alex, one you might be familiar with. So we'll have to do some digging into that. And it's also key to note that although the lawfare was going against Jeff Clark, that's all of the information that has come up in the Arctic Frost investigation proves that they knew from the very beginning that Jeff Clark did not commit any crimes, but he was still a main target. They even raided his home. Get that? And all these people are all linked into the Fulton County RICO case. But really, the real RICO case is these people who are all involved in it. The people at the FBI, the people over at the DOJ, Jack Smith. I mean, they all went around not trying to get subpoenas, warrants, go the legal route. They tried their very best to work with one another to get things that they couldn't legally obtain themselves. And it was a well-orchestrated event to go after the president of the United States. So again, this is what we're hearing. It's enraging, it's infuriating, but I'll be on the Alex Jones show later today to talk about that. And we'll be taking those calls in about 90, maybe 2 minutes. Maybe 2 minutes. Again, a lot happening on that front that we look forward to diving into. We'll also be joined in the third hour by Mel Kay. I had a lot of questions for my girl Mel Kay. Obviously, as many of you guys know, Mel Kay understands it from the globalism perspective. What they're working on, what the deeper meaning to all of this is, always tells us not to just read the headline, but understand what the globalist agenda is to a lot of these stories. So she'll be joining me to sound off in regards to Joe Biden's aides. Joe Biden, his aide, I should say. Sounds a little weird. His aide, who apparently was going to get $4 million if he got Joe Biden reelected to the White House. His base salary, too, was $4 million. $8 million payouts, not bad. Not bad. They don't pay me that much. I probably should go work in politics if I want to make $4 million just right off the cuff. I wonder how they were able to get that money and pay it over to the person. Probably something worth looking into. We'll also be talking about, we got more video of how the Joe Biden staffers were covering up his mental health and his physical health over the years. We now have the testimony video, and we'll be showing you just that in a few moments as well. We're taking your calls. If you haven't done so already, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We're going to go down the list of callers relevant to the news topics we've discussed thus far. So give me a ring. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
big... My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all here. Third hour of the show. We're kicking it off right now. Thanks for those who are online right now waiting to get on the show. We appreciate you calling in. I'm going to work my way from the very top on down. News topics, that's what we're covering today. Topics we've discussed on this program thus far. Let's start it off with a bit of a lighter story. I hear Raymond in Kentucky has a heartwarming story he'd like to share with us. So welcome to the show, Raymond.
Morning. I called yesterday trying to get through to Alex, and I wasn't able to make it through. A caller called in and mentioned that we should flood the local food banks, trying to counteract them, people not having money to eat. I was surprised to find that all the local food banks were stocked to the roof, and they had a 3-year waiting list for people to even volunteer to help. Mm. So just some good news that people are already doing good things.
Yeah, well, that's great news, Raymond, and we love to hear that. And that's the reason why I'm trying to remember. We had somebody on our show last week, I'm drawing a blank right now, but who ultimately was saying this is the purpose of the food banks and that we should probably be taking people off of the food stamp program and make them go to the food banks to get food. I mean, these food banks are prepared for this. You know, I remember when I was working in local news back in Tampa during the pandemic, we covered those families, and it's very sad, but the area that we were focused on, actually, I think it was like 90% of those students who went to the schools, the public schools, 90% of them were on government assistance programs. And so they did need the food from the food banks. And so we cover the stories about the food banks giving out food, but they were well prepared for all of this. I mean, it was very professional, it wasn't humiliating. It was very kind and very sweet. They just gave them shopping bags of food and were just loading them up in the cars. They didn't have to get out of the car. They put it in the back seat of the car, or put it in the trunk of the car, and that was it. So yeah, Raymond, I mean, this is great to hear. It's about time that that's the case. I really do appreciate you calling into the show. This is what we waited for. This is what everyone was waiting on. This is the purpose of these charities, is to help out when in need. And so that's great to hear. Thanks for calling again, Raymond. I know you were on hold yesterday over for Alex, so we appreciate you calling into this show today. So thank you.
No, you're very welcome. I appreciate it. I'm happy to have good news to share.
Yeah, well, we love that. We love that. So thank you. All right, let's turn to Bart in Georgia. Because Bart, I hear you also want to sound off on the EBT that we've been discussing. What's going on?
Well, first of all, methylene blue, buy it before it's banned. It's so good they want to ban it. But I want to talk about the EBT riots coming up on Saturday. This is an opportunity to flush out a lot of criminals and to remove people. They're caught stealing. They're off EBT. No foreign-born person should be getting EBT, so they need to they need to go through the list and see any foreigners that aren't citizens that need to be pulled off the list. And thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that front. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to start the riots on day one of all of this. It's really frustrating, though, because, again, I don't understand why we're even entertaining this. I don't know why we're even allowing this to happen in the first place. I'm hoping the DOJ will step in and then make an announcement soon, kind of push back on a lot of it. But, yeah, I mean, this is what we could expect. Bart, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Lester in West Virginia. Welcome to the show, Lester.
Thanks for having me, Brianna.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm an old school broadcaster, and you do not talk too fast.
Thank you, Lester. I appreciate you.
Somebody mentored you that is around my age, and here you are. So anyway, I'm a widow, Brianna, and I'm on food stamps, okay? And so, like I was telling your phone-in guy, I don't plan on going out looting and rioting or anything like that. You know, I do, you know, right now I do radio sales. I do advertising sales. And I'm just thinking about going out picking, you know, dusting off the old DJ gear and getting it back out, maybe going picking up another show or two, because what they're giving me is really not enough to even accumulate anything. $40 a month.
Wow.
That's yeah, and I got to feed a teenage kid, and the only reason I humor getting on them is because the Biden regime just jacked the prices up. So that's my story, and so all this nonsense about looting, it just needs to stop. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways to earn money right now. I think the one good thing is there's a lot of, from the pandemic at least, was that there's been so many remote jobs being offered to people. You know, you said you got a teenager. I mean, when I was 14, I had my first job at a pizzeria. So just throwing that out there too, that could help. I mean, all of it helps. And I got a lot of free pizza too. That was one of the big perks of working at a pizzeria. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. And it's sad to see too, when people actually need the money, or they need the food sources, that they're not given much. I mean, there was a man who, this was a while back, maybe I want to say like 2 or 3 months ago, I'm going through my videos that were popping up on X. One of them was a gentleman who does have a disability, and his food stamps got cut. And he's like, I physically can't work. So there's definitely a lot of issues with it too. I just don't, it's sad to see and Lester, I mean, I'll let you kind of give us your take on this. When we're watching the videos that are being posted online on TikTok of people who are getting food stamps and getting thousands of dollars. I mean, one woman said that she gets $3,000 a month. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it makes me irate, because once again, I've worked ever since you had to have an FCC card in 1990 in the radio industry. So yeah, I've never, like I said, I've never had to go and get food until the Biden regime just got in and inflation just went through the roof. And, you know, but man, it makes me outraged that $3,000.
Yeah. 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 She's like, I have got kids. It's kind of crazy.
Okay. Like eight?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, probably.
Wow. And I get $40 measly dollars a month.
That's
wow.
Crazy. Yeah, well, this is the problem also, Lester. And I think this is what the problem with food stamps is that it's abused. I mean, there's literally people who just reproduce so they get more money from the government. And they're very clear about that. I mean, a lot of these people are getting free health care, free food, free housing. And then we play that clip of that Iraqi man who's apparently a refugee saying that his benefits, if they get pulled, he has to leave the country. I mean, again, this is so insane to me that this is the type of stuff that we're dealing with. I mean, this man looks like he's healthy from appearances, just from this video. Looks healthy. Looks like he's capable of working. If he is here on refugee status, I mean, there should be some type of work papers he could possibly get. You shouldn't be sitting on our system at this point. And I'm just so over it, Lester. It's just so frustrating. I used to be very liberal with this idea of food stamps, but these days I've turned into very conservative. Lester, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate your perspective on all of this as well. So thank you for that. I want to turn to Dana in Nevada right now, because Dana, you're actually talking about something that's really important about the digital ID law that passed in Texas. I was actually looking to get somebody on the show to talk about that. So this is good that you're coming on to talk about that. So thank you.
Absolutely. And Brianna, you're doing a great job. Appreciate everything you do. And been a VIP member ever since the beginning of the program.
Well, thank you. So, that's great to hear.
I'll tell you, I must have been asleep. My phone was blowing up this morning. I've got a lot of folks who just text me all kinds of interesting information. And I looked into it, and I watched Maria Z's X account this morning. And she takes 5 minutes to go through the whole thing. And, of course, we all know where it's going. But Texas Senate Bill 2420, also known as the Texas App Store Accountability Act, was signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott on May 27, 2025. It goes into effect on January 1st, 2026, and requires app stores to verify user ages and obtain parental consent for minors before allowing app downloads or in-app purchases. It's also being looked at in Louisiana and in Utah and at the federal level, Maria Z talks about. We've been following this for a great deal of time. I mean, we know what's happened over in Europe. I mean, there are situations where some of the retail grocery stores, if you don't have their ID, they don't allow you into the store. There's all kinds of crazy things this thing comes up with. But I strongly suggest people take a look at that X account for Maria Z. It's the latest posting, and she explains where this is going and what happened to Australia once they started with this route. They play on the heartstrings of parents to say, hey, you want to protect your kid from downloading the wrong apps or going to the wrong site on the web, and this is the way we're going to do it. And it grows and morphs real fast from there. I'll just tell you some examples. The federal government already has two situations happening. I went in, I tried to look at my Social Security benefits, and I had to go through one different digital ID service of two to basically upload my driver's license, take a picture with my phone, have the system analyze it with AI, basically put all the digital content of my face on a government website just so I could see my Social Security benefits. I went to Home Depot in California to try to rent a piece of equipment, and I have a little black sticker on my camera on my phone because I know it's always working. And to rent the piece of equipment and the paperwork, I had to go into an application at Home Depot, take a picture of myself, take a picture of my driver's license. It went through a Home Depot system for facial recognition to allow me to rent the piece of equipment. This is already here. People don't understand it, and it's now becoming law. And if you want to try to do something about it, even though Governor Abbott signed it, you can call the Office of the Governor at 512-463-2000 and tell them what you think about it. I just wanted to bring it to the attention of your viewers because I think it's a big deal, and I think it's a very slippery slope as it starts here in the United States.
Okay. No, I 1,000% agree with you. You know, the biometrics beat, it was my beat, especially talking about how the government's taking your biometrics and is lying to the American people. So, Dana, I actually want to kind of bounce off with you on this one. How do we prevent, then, without ID verification, how do we prevent children from gaining access to a lot of these apps? I mean, Discord, obviously, is like one of the apps. It's used for gaming, obviously. I know that, but it's being utilized by pedophiles. So there's a lot of apps out there that are being utilized by pedophiles. How do we prevent children from gaining access to all of that and validate their age? Because that's definitely something that I'm interested in from that angle, but I'm 100% on board with you when it comes to digital IDs and how we need to block that as well.
Well, you know, if we were having this discussion 30 years ago, it's called parental control and parental involvement. You know, none of this existed back then. And if a parent is involved in their child's life, they should know what's happening. I've actually met many parents out there that don't give phones to kids until a certain age and kind of watch what they do, and they understand what they do. There are certain capabilities out there. I'm in the business of IT where parents can kind of view what's happening on a kid's phone if you are going to give them a phone or a tablet or something of that nature. But parents need to get involved. It's a very simple discussion. There's no miraculous answer here. And if they're not, and they let the kids using these kinds of apps and stuff like that to keep them from having to hire a babysitter, well, you're going to have some problems. It is, unfortunately, and I won't mention names, but I've got a bunch of friends who are parents. And we go to dinner, and they give the kid some sort of a iPad to keep the kid quiet. And all the kid does is just look at the iPad throughout all of dinner so the parents don't have to deal with them. That is nuts. But that's what parents do these days. They don't understand what's happening to the kids. And when you also talk and dig into what's programmed into the software that these developers put in there to track eye movement of your kid, what are they watching, what are they doing, and all of it goes back to an account. Again, I've got a serious IT background, so I know where the data goes, and I understand facial recognition, and it's what happens. But parents don't get involved like they should.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem too with having two parents that work a lot as well. I mean, I feel for them, but I also don't understand the iPad thing. Like you were saying, I'm one of seven kids, and when we'd go out to dinner, my parents would give us like a coloring book, and that was it. We all had to talk, we had to communicate. Still to this day, there's no phones allowed at the table, and we're all in our 20s and 30s. My parents don't budge on that one. There's no phones allowed. You just have to put your phones on the countertop and sit down and eat when we're all in town together. So yeah, there's that. It's so hard to stop these predators from going after children. My advice would be probably the easier one, Dana. Like you said, no phones. I mean, just literally don't give them the phones. I think it's the easiest route for it. It's just such a toxic mess. Dana, we appreciate you calling, giving us that little snippet on the digital ID law here in Texas, because it's very, very important. Like you said, call the governor's office, but Governor Greg Abbott's been absolutely useless, and it's really enraging to just sit back and watch. He's a rhino. There's no other way to put it. I know a lot of people believe that he is not working for us, and have suggested other people he might be working for who are not Texans. So there's a lot there for sure. But thank you for calling in for that, Ron. We really appreciate it. I'm going to go to Mike in New York. Mike, you have something you'd like to say, so welcome to the show.
Yo, what's up? This is from a fellow New Yorker to you. I just want to say your accent is spot. It's perfect. And I think that you should speak more New Yorkish. That's what I think.
I know. I took classes, Michael, to get rid of that accent. But when I say Long Island, you could hear it a little bit.
I want to hear a couple forget about it. You know what I mean? I want to hear you get a little nuts up there. You know what I mean?
You got a boss.
I want to hear some. You got to get some Fugazi going. You know what I mean? Say, hey, that's Fugazi. You know what I mean? And you did the video about Trump with the Operation Warp Speed, right? That's how you made your bones, right?
From the jump, I mean, I've definitely made a couple of them. I did the one about, I outed, because I was working at Fox at the time. So maybe you're thinking about that when they tossed me out when they forced me out of Fox for not taking the vaccines.
Yeah, but you also did like a video, going after Trump about the vaccines too, right?
I don't think I aggressively went after him. I mean, I definitely have criticized Operation Warp Speed, and I'm always discouraged when I hear him going out there and touting it like it's been a great thing.
Yeah, that's my point. Is like everyone's got an issue with this guy poisoning everybody, but then like everyone doubles down on their support for him when he doubles down on poisoning everybody. Yeah. How is that not? How is Operation Warp Speed not genocide? You guys are like applauding Hitler. You know what I mean? Like you guys are like, yeah, gas chamber. Like that's what makes me crazy. It's like you guys are like, yeah, this shot's poison. It's killing everyone. This, that, the other thing. Then Trump's like, yeah, it's great. Yeah, I did good. And you guys are like, woohoo, go Trump. So that's what's making every. I mean, this is like communism to the next level. Gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Well, here
and another thing.
Yeah.
What's up?
Let me bounce off of that real quick. I think this is the key part, right? When I criticize him for warp speed, I criticize him for warp speed. When I talk about other things, though, I don't think all the things that come out of the Trump administration are bad. Warp speed, though, obviously, as someone who lost her job over the vaccine, heck yeah, I am critical of that. But I think there's a way about doing it, right? Because right now, I mean, we know, I talk about it all the time. The VAERS report's unreliable, but there are millions of people who have been injured by the vaccines. And so when he has, we talk about on this show all the time. I know Alex does as well. When he has Bill Gates showing up to the White House to have dinner with him, have meetings with him, we're fired up on this side about that because we understand it. I mean, we are MAHA people. So that makes sense on that front. But, you know, not everything from the Trump administration is bad. And I think we need to be balanced in our coverage on that.
Well, I disagree. I mean, I've watched Alex's videos and, about martial law, about digital IDs, about, the poison shots. He made all these videos years ago. And then you got a guy who gets in, who rolls it all out. And you guys are woohoo. Yeah, baby.
We did not do that, buddy. We did not do that. Not a single. You can never find a clip of me going woohoo, baby, on Operation Warp Speed or any of the vaccines. Again, I tout when he does good things. Operation Warp Speed isn't one of it. And in fact, I know Alex has never done any of that. We have no problem like saying, oh, wow, what he's doing at the DOJ is great. When we saw today that the DOJ fired two people who were involved in J6, I said that's good. But then I also criticized them earlier in the show as well. For not doing enough to go after the lawfare individuals. So we do the balance report. I don't want to be a total black pill. Not everything in the administration is bad, but the warp speed, if you want to focus on warp speed, we have been very vocal about that. I don't think you could find a clip unless you have it with you now or you have a time and a day when Alex has ever said that. I know you can't find anything on me when it comes to warp speed saying it was a good thing. But is there any type of actual quote you have of Alex celebrating warp speed?
No, I'm just saying in general, if a guy poisons everyone, you still continue to freaking promote him. I mean, what's the difference? You know what I mean? The guy already poisoned the well. You know what I'm saying? He already poisoned everybody. And you guys are like, yeah, that's, he poisoned everybody, but he's slicing bread over here. Look at him. Look at him go. Look at the guy slicing bread over. Oh, he poisoned everyone. I mean, like, and then he's signing the AI indemnification. I mean, this guy is the devil, man. And
right, you know what I mean? Like, we can't curse. We're on radio. All right, let's go to the next caller because we can't curse. We're on radio. Thank you for calling, Michael, though. I just want to say before we go to the next caller, though, we are fair and balanced when it comes to criticisms of the Trump administration. We do our very best to do just that. I know I'm critical. I mean, guys, you're allowed to sit there and say that these elements are wrong, and then, but this is good, and this is what you like, and this is what you voted for, this is what you supported for. I'm not going to sit here and go and punch all the time. I mean, he is fighting a lot. Yes, there are things to be critical of, and we do just that. We do just that. But we're not going to sit here and be a black pill and go after the president and members of his administration for everything. We're allowed to have an opinion. Our opinions differ from show to show. Alex doesn't tell me what to say on his show, my show. We don't tell him what to say on his show. You're allowed to have an opinion. But when it's come to MAHA, I mean, InfoWars has been at the top of all of that. We never told you to take those vaccines. And as the caller just cited, sadly, before he cursed, because we can't have people on cursing, because we are on radio. But I wanted to just highlight that when all of this was going down, Alex told you, and he even said it. Alex told you that the vaccines were poison. I literally quit my job and left Fox because they were trying to force me to take the jab. And then I went out and added Fox. And then I went out there and highlighted the fact that the FOIA request that came back for the Blaze highlights that all these media outlets took funding from the Biden regime to promote the jabs. So again, it's called being fair and balanced. We're not going to sit here and be negative all the time. We are going to be balanced. And I want to be balanced. So if you don't want balanced coverage, if you want someone who's going to be negative and black pill, it's not going to happen on this show. I'll give you the truth. I'll give you everything to it. I think I criticized the administration at least three times today. They're doing good things, though. You got to highlight the good things that are coming out of it. Alex literally talks about the AI issues, too, all the time. I mean, we just talked about the IDs. I'm literally suing the government still under Trump. I'm still suing to get access to information that they should have legally given me. So, Michael, we appreciate your call, my fellow New Yorker. But, buddy, I think you're way off on that one. Way off on that one. All right, we're limited on time right now, so I would take another caller, but then I'm gonna have to cut them off because we've got about a minute left on the clock. So I appreciate everyone who called in, of course. We love and appreciate all of you for doing just that. And we're allowed to have these disagreements. I like it when you call. Michael was very respectful until he got to the cursing part, which we can't play on the show. I can't play it. I know we've got hot fingers over there, but we can't let one slip because we are on radio. But we appreciate everyone who's called in. And I'd love to hear from you guys, of course. Folks, right now, if you haven't done so already, you got to do it right now. Head on over to the alexjonesapp.com because, well, folks, you never know. They're going to lock that front door, and this is an information war. They don't want the truth from coming out. That's why Alex Jones was wrapped up into the Arctic Frost documents, of course. They don't like his sources. So if you want to stay in touch with us, best way to do so is to head on over right now. Download the app. It is officially available on Android as well as Apple. So head on over to alexjonesapp.com. When you do so, we'll gift you a 20% off promo code to go use over at the alexjonesstore.com. And the best part about that is you're going to get that 20% off, and you can use it on our new methylene red, which you can pair up with the blue, of course, and it's going to be great for your brain health. So I'd highly recommend you all do just that. All right, folks, when we come back on the flip side of all of this, my girl Mel Kay is joining the show today. Mel's got a lot to sound off on because guess what? We just caught a Biden aide openly saying that if he got Biden reelected, that he was going to get a $4 million payout for that. Yeah, you won't believe it. We got the audio recording. We're going to show you in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. More American Journal to dive into.
I've been told for years to get bovine colostrum. It's the milk that a mammal produces as a cow in the first 2 weeks. It's the natural vaccine. It's super nutrients. It's growth factor. It's anti-cancer. It's everything. Ask ChatGPT what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation, metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It goes on and on. And we have the non-pasteurized, super concentrated. It is incredible. Get your bovine colostrum. The first run sold out quick. Back in stock And when you buy bovine colostrum, the highest quality at theoxygenstore.com right now, you get 50% off on all the other supplements. The methylene blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, all of it. 50% off right now when you get bovine colostrum back in stock at theyellowshieldstore.com, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. The last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Spike Protein Detox, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum that's so incredible that's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months, and we have the very best at theoxygenstore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up. Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened.
I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50 however many years, and my hair is much thicker than it has been, and I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker, and this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who was it? Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or somebody?
Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. Well, they're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. This is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary Ann, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of a mammal's milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what
it was. No, you can play my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
By the way, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... Though she came on the show like 6 months ago, she said, I don't know if I can do it. She felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
How do you proportion this?
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than the methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're
more plugging. That's
talking
true.
About younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty queens.
Anything else at the moment?
Love you, Charlotte.
Thank you. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you guys are all joining us today. A lot going on today's show. I started my day off, my morning off, by shotgunning a Red Bull, sugar-free, of course. And it has me fired up, okay? I've been fired up all day. I almost even let an F-bomb slip accidentally, of course, but that's not what we're doing over here today. We are doing our very best to expose all the corruption, and I think we've done a pretty good job at that. I want to focus on what dropped late yesterday afternoon. We're learning more about how members of the Biden regime were incentivized to make sure that Joe Biden was reelected back into the White House. Interesting enough, there was a Biden aide who spoke to the Judiciary Committee, testified under oath, and detailed how he was going to allegedly get a $4 million bonus if Joe Biden was able to get reelected back into the White House. Take a listen to clip 17 and what he details there.
Were there any circumstances in which you would have received a bonus?
Yes, there was.
What were those circumstances?
That Joe Biden would have been reelected president of the United States.
What was the bonus of Ben?
I believe it would have been $4 million.
in addition to the $4 million that you were already paid.
Yes.
Wow, wouldn't that be nice to have a $4 million base salary plus an extra $4 million if you get a warm body back into the White House to make it look like he's actually working? Joining me to discuss is Mel Kay, host of The Mel Kay Show. And I'm sure she's fired up and ready to sound off on that front as well. Mel is also the author of the book Americans Anonymous as well, which is available right now on Amazon. Mel, it's good to have you on today. We're exposing a lot of the corruption that just dropped yesterday. We're understanding more and more. I mean, we've already talked about it, but we're learning more and more about how deep all of these deep state operatives went under the Biden regime to not only capture the power and to keep it, but also to try to pick off people in the Arctic Frost investigation. But I wanted to focus on this first. I wanted to talk to you about how this special advisor was somehow, some way going to make $4 million if Joe Biden was reelected back into the White House. What do you make of that?
Well, first we have to talk about Don Alon himself. He's been working with Joe Biden for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. First and foremost, his closest advisor, all of that. So we also have to assume that he's been traveling the world with him, be it to Ukraine or China or anywhere else. Worse than that is that it's not come out yet, I guess, that his brother, Tom Don Alon, used to be the head, or might be again, of BlackRock's International Investing Institute. Well, when Joe Biden went into office, Tom Don Alon became the chief, I guess, in the State Department of negotiations and trade with China. Oh. And then also we know a bunch of BlackRock people in the background as well. But also his wife, Don Alon's wife, was basically the HR hiring manager of the Joe Biden Auto Pen presidency as well. So, you know, this whole family has been very intricately involved in the last 4 years. And when we look at all the things that happened during the Biden administration that benefited China and not the United States of America, it certainly makes you ask what was going on in there on the financial level, not just for the people inside the campaign, but the entire crew behind him. And you know, at the end of the day, I think it's time to really look at what these people were doing in there and who actually put Joe Biden in office, and what kind of deals were going on behind the scenes, particularly that affected the United States of America, but benefited them financially.
Yeah, well, I think that's something that's key here. I didn't even realize how bad all of this was for this guy. I mean, the fact that this is happening, and again, there's very little accountability, but I would love to look at the finances of all of this. And you just outlined, too, how Mike was involved in the Chinese negotiations and working with China specifically. I think that's probably the key point, because I don't understand where they'd get this $4 million from in the first place. A little discouraged to hear that there wasn't a follow-up question on that. I'm sure it came from the campaign. But I looked at the campaign finances, and maybe someone coughed up from China that $4 million or something kind of related to China. I'd like to follow money on that.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, because we know yesterday also a investigation kicked off of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's relationship with China and investment in China, particularly into the military industrial complex. But back to Tom Don Alon, who was running the China, basically, desk of the State Department during the last 4 years, you know, BlackRock itself has been very, you know, intricately involved in China as well, particularly called out multiple times for funding military connected CCP, different startups and companies as well. So as we've discussed before on this show, shortly before everyone else dropped out, Larry Fink had a meeting with Joe Biden when he was, I think, probably Kamala Harris was the only one doing worse than him in the primaries. Within a week of the meeting, I believe, in January with Joe Biden, next thing you know, everyone dropped out except for Joe Biden, basically, and supported Joe Biden. So a lot is going on there. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, all the things that were ignored on Hunter Biden's laptop, having to do with international business dealings while being vice president. Again, his son only has a suspected at this point pardon back to, I believe, 2014. But maybe it's time to go back to the 8 years that Joe Biden worked for Barack Obama as vice president to really look at what the last 4 years were about.
Yeah, and they made sure to sign that pardon, have Joe sign that by hand. And I also want to highlight the fact that several Republican attorney generals were contacted in regards by Marco Polo, actually, who's mapped out the crimes that they believe that was committed by Hunter. And sadly, none of these Republican AGs even took up that legal fight or even tried to investigate it. So they all fell on the sword and just allowed Hunter to go on and go about getting that get out of free jail pass. And they have not held him accountable, which is really discouraging. But speaking of holding him accountable, I want to talk about, obviously, Joe and how his staffers are also being called out, because the committee has been interviewing them as well and specifically grilled them on Joe Biden's health, which a lot of them actually would go on cable news shows and deny any type of mental decline, health decline at all. And they often did just that. But now they're being grilled in clip 18. You're going to hear how they changed their story when speaking under oath. Take a listen.
He often would confuse names.
You think it got worse as you knew him?
Yes.
Are you sure you're being honest with yourself when you say you have the mental and physical capacity to serve another 4 years?
Yes, I am.
I did not have the experience that it took him longer to answer simple questions.
He could stumble. He also stumbled some physically.
What is it, Chief?
It was something that we did not coin. It was something that the media coined.
Did you or did anyone ever verify if the videos you were talking about were, in fact, cheap fakes?
I believe so.
But there were instances where videos were circulated of President Biden appearing confused or freezing for a moment that were real, correct?
Not that I recall.
She told you this real video of Biden getting lost in an Italian field was fake. Now she's saying, yeah, my White House was broken and I'm switching parties.
And was suffering from a cold that really constrained his voice and constrained his ability to be forceful in the debate.
Do you attribute President Biden's performance that night to him being under the weather?
That's my assumption.
The ability of Medicare to... us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies.
Had you ever seen him have a cold or the flu before?
Yes.
Did he ever behave the way that he did during the debate?
Not that I ever saw.
It was clear what he was trying to say.
Dealing with everything we had to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare,
it was the people that knew he was cognitively impaired and that took over the auto pen. They stole the presidency of the United States.
Do you know who the people who were actually operated the auto pen were?
I do not.
Do you know any of the actual staff who were using the auto pen?
No.
You don't know their names?
No.
Have you never seen a decision memo laying out the breakdown of when the president should hand sign a particular set of documents?
Not prior to prep.
Did he hand sign all executive orders?
He did not. He hand signed many executive orders, but he did not hand sign all executive orders.
Now, Mel, it's important to note that they just reported this over at Fox that the investigation into the auto pen scandal is ramping up a bit in Delaware and D.C. right now. But ultimately here, you have a bunch of staffers who would go on cable news shows, lie about the president's or the so-called president's health, and then would now tell you the honest truth that, yeah, there was probably some issues behind the scenes. Even the cheap fakes that KGP was saying at the podium all the time, going out there and saying the videos that you see, they're not real. They're actually AI generated, when in fact they were. What do you think should happen to these people? Because what they did is absolutely criminal.
Well, the entire 4 years is criminal. I frankly believe they're going to find out about the 2020 election and the Transition Integrity Project and people like Neera Tanden, who's a lifelong, you know, Project for a New American Century type, she's with John Podesta again over at what's his NGO? Center for American Progress. You know, all of these people have been in this pay or play game for decades. They are not new to this. And frankly, you see Klain, who was Obama's Obama's Ebola czar. Then he became basically the lead under Joe Biden for the entire COVID response and the mandatory vaccinations and everything. So Ron Klain should be looked in anyway. On top of that, Neera Tanden, frankly, she was the one that it seems was involved with the auto pen. She acts like she doesn't know what's going on. Jeff Zients was the one who gave, it looks like, Anthony Fauci the pardon. So, again, all of this is well known. I also want to mention, as you brought up Marco Polo, that many people were saying that Joe Biden was already incapacitated before he took office to begin with. And if that is the case, and maybe they put him in there in order to continue running whatever game they were running during Trump's entire term, because as we both know, they were running a shadow government, a shadow foreign policy, undermining everything going on, not allowing Donald Trump to be the president and continuing down the path of Obama the entire time Trump was in office. So who's to say that this isn't just a continuation of that? Get Joe Biden. He's already incapacitated. Put him in front of people. Pump him up with drugs. We saw, you know, clearly that he had something going on with his hands and his arms and his neck. I mean, they were doing everything they could to have Joe Biden kind of stand up there. It's very sad. If Joe Biden wasn't such a despicable person, I would feel bad for him. I saw Donald Trump looking at him during the debate, kind of feeling bad for him. But you can't feel bad for somebody who has taken advantage of this country and clearly profited for decades off of his positions in public service. So at this point, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next, but all of these people, as far as I'm concerned, committed sedition and treason, and frankly, conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America on a grand scale. They should all be included in the grand conspiracy, because now we're finding not only was the January 6th committee working directly with Lisa Monaco and the DOJ, but it looks like all these people were working together the whole time to cover each other, cover each other's asses the whole time. So, you know, we need to look into the financial situation of the inner circle there, particularly the Donilons, all three of them, and Jeff Zients and Ron Klain, and then, of course, the Biden family. Many people say that Hunter Biden was very involved in the last 2 months and always around. And never forget that Jill Biden's assistant took the fifth, as did the doctor. The doctor also has conflicts. He has business dealings with James Biden. So a lot of this is going to come back to the original crime, in my opinion, before the election, which would be the 51 intelligence agents who defrauded the people of the United States of America by lying about Hunter Biden's laptop and signing off on it as Russian disinformation when they knew it was real since 2019, because that would have opened up the American people to see who Joe Biden and his family and the people surrounding him really were. And instead, we were deceived and they put him in office. And this looks very bad. I do hope that they get to the bottom of it, because to me, I think it was a plan all along to put weaken a Bernie's in the office and run it behind the scenes. And do not forget about Anita Dunn and her husband, okay? Because Anita Dunn has been very involved. She was Obama's, I believe, communications manager. She worked for a little while for Weinstein when he was in trouble. She comes back in, and her and her husband apparently are as close to him as possible. And she's been in the Democratic machine for decades, including being a lobbyist and other things. So this tight circle around him, every single one of them should be under investigation already. If they're not, I would be surprised. But, you know, we got to get to the bottom of it, because the entire 2020 to 2024, the United States of America was defrauded on the largest scale. And it was a continuation of the fraud and the color revolution that these same people encouraged and kicked off and cooperated in since 2016. But if 2020 to 2024 is not the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on the people of the United States of America, I would be surprised.
All right, Mel, well, since you brought that up, I actually have a topic I wanted to quickly discuss with you before we let you go, because I know you got a lot you're going on to the Mel Kay show in just a moment over on Rumble. But I wanted to have you kind of walk us through this response that we just recently got. I want to play clip five. It's MSNBC. They have the Colorado Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, on the program. Oh, and she's talking about Tina Peters. Tina Peters obviously blew the whistle on what she alleged was corruption in their elections. Take a listen to how Griswold is openly bragging about throwing Peters in prison for 9 years. Take a listen.
We have a sitting president trying to undermine democratic norms and attack our institutions on a near daily basis. But I can say with confidence, our elections and our systems have held strong. And as Secretary of State, I've increased their resilience. It is now a felony to access on an unauthorized basis voting equipment. And we've caught someone. Tina Peters, who is now serving 9 years of imprisonment because she tried to mess around with voting equipment in the state of Colorado.
All right. Tina Peters was charged on a state level, not a federal level. So President Trump can't pardon her. But your reaction to hearing Griswold sit there and brag about Peters being sentenced to 9 years in prison?
Well, first of all, that is also where Dominion is based, with all those lawsuits in Colorado as well. So, you know, you should keep that in mind. Also, she's the one who put out the passwords. Tina Peters was doing her job. Tina Peters saw serious anomalies. She was an elected election official. She saw issues and she wanted to capture the evidence, which she did. That is why she is in jail, because she actually caught them. In the meantime, I do believe that Pam Bondi and the federal government can file a civil rights claim in this case. If you recall, Pam Bondi was involved in the George Zimmerman case. That was a open and shut self-defense case. But Eric Holder had contacted Pam Bondi as AG and wanted to open a civil rights case against George Zimmerman. And that was allowed. So in my opinion, I think this is a civil rights case that can be open to protect Tina Peters and get her out of there. She is also a witness of the 2020 election fraud and tampering that I believe will be proven as well. She is a great woman and a good friend and a strong lady and a gold star mother. Her husband, her father, both also died during this entire debacle with Jenna Griswold, and she sits there proud that it's a felony to touch election machines when the woman was elected to oversee the elections. It is just sickening to see every one of these people. They are the criminals. They project and they blame and they point fingers, when at the end of the day, I believe that finger should be pointing straight back at Jenna Griswold.
Yeah, yeah. And we're praying for Tina Peters. We want her out of prison right now. Hopefully the Trump administration could figure something out, whether it's withholding funding for Colorado or putting these politicians' feet to the fire. This has gone on for long enough, and she's not in the great, the best health right now. Getting her out of there should be a top priority, we hope. And according to his True Social page, it is. So we really do hope that is the case. Mel, I want to thank you for joining us. Of course, you do an incredible job on the Mel Kay Show every single day. You're dropping a ton of content, and you're on Rumble. You're everywhere. You're on Twitter as well. So folks, if you haven't followed her yet, make sure you do just that. Also, she's the author of Americans Anonymous, which is available right now on Amazon. So grab that book as well. Mel Kay, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. I love you. And we look forward to having you back on next week.
Thank you. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
You too, my friend. All right. Things are kind of turning over for Tylenol right now. I want to get to a story that happened. And I don't know if we didn't cover it yesterday. I know I covered it on my X page and totally slipped my mind. Let me make sure I catch you up on it. Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General, yesterday filed a lawsuit against Tylenol makers. Now, he is claiming that the Tylenol company itself didn't do enough to warn pregnant mothers in regards to the dangers of taking Tylenol to unborn children. So he's looking to hold them accountable. And he is obviously down with the MAHA movement. He is one of the very few state AGs launching these types of attacks on companies that he thinks, and many of us would agree with, aren't doing much to help Americans remain healthy. And so a great lawsuit that he has just filed. He is the only shark that we have, I think, out of all the Republican AGs. I don't know anyone who comes near Paxton's office. They're constantly working, dropping lawsuits, and going after companies and individuals who are trying their best to defraud the American people. And so it's just another point that Ken Paxton is just the best AG. And sadly, he's making his way to the U.S. Senate. And I don't mean sadly in the terms that it's sad. Just like, you know, going to miss him. Good news, though, is Aaron Reitz, who's running for his seat, has been endorsed by Ken Paxton. And he says he's going to carry on all these fights. And we hope that is true. So we look forward to that. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Zohran Mamdani, because apparently yesterday he was forced, well, he's kind of facing two criminal referrals right now. It's coming from a watchdog, a financial watchdog, who has just referred him for allegedly taking foreign donations. They're saying that this breaches the FECA and New York election code. So again, that's what they're claiming here. Now, this comes after a New York Post report that dropped over the weekend, which outlined how they believe that Mamdani collected 13,000 donations from foreigners. That amounts to about 170 donations, individual donations. And this included a donation from his mother-in-law, who allegedly lives in Dubai and does not have a U.S. address. Now, this has been referred over to the DOJ, the DOJ's criminal division. And I mean, this is just probably dead on arrival, but it was also forwarded over to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, who many of you know is Alvin Bragg. So we'll just claim it's like DOA at this point on that front. But the DOJ, maybe it has some life to it. Again, it's only $13,000, so near $13,000. So I have a feeling that they probably just refund those donors and it might get him out of this criminal indictment at this point, or potential criminal indictment at this point. So again, it's just a criminal referral. But it's, again, it's one of the many, as Zohran Mamdani, we talk about on the show. I've been trying to warn people about this for months. Communist. I know there was a focus on his religion. I told you not to focus on his religion because I said, I have a feeling if you focus on the fact that he's Muslim, he's going to use that as the victim card that he could pull out. You know, they often do that. They often do that. Whether it's women claiming that you're sexist if you criticize them, any type of minority groups, but specifically, especially if you criticize anyone who's Muslim, you're going to get called a couple of names. And we don't care before the names, obviously. It's not something that's going to defer us from citing the truth. But the reality of it is he could sit there and play victim. And he pats off his fake tears when he's crying about his dead aunt, who apparently is not a dead aunt. It's a cousin. And he was telling you that story about how his aunt couldn't take the subway anymore in New York City after 9/11 because she was the real victim. She wears a hijab, and apparently she can't get on subways anymore. He gave you a whole story, cried and everything, or cried. I didn't see a tear fall, but cried about it. I made it seem like his family was the real victims in all of this. Turns out, according to the New York Post, they say he lied. It wasn't his aunt. Apparently it was his cousin. His aunt never even lived in New York City. Must have been someone he was really close with. That's why you got the fake watermark, the water show that he gave you. Crying his eyes out. Fraud. Most of them are, though. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. Available now on Android. We launched that last week, and we're very excited about that. We're also available for Apple as well. Best part is we're like number one right now on all of the charts these days. We're beating out all of the mainstream media apps, their news, so-called news apps. So if you want to help us really tick off those on the left, download the app, alexjonesapp.com. You'll also stay in touch with us, of course. Whenever they decide to lock the front door here, we're heading over to our next platform. So do just that. Download the app. And also, just a little incentive we'll throw your way for helping us out. We'll give you 20% off that you can use for your next purchase over at the alexjonesstore.com. When you use that promo code, you do so over at the app menu. So do just that. And a lot happening over at the alexjonesstore.com. Like I told you yesterday, we just launched the methylene red. It's perfect if you want to pair it up with the blue, if you haven't done so already. And it's definitely something that you're going to want to do to improve your brain health. So do just that. I don't know if brain health is the official medical term. I am not a scientist, but I do know great products when I take them. And I could use, now that I wake up at like 3 in the morning every day, 4 sometimes, definitely use all the help I get. So do just that. Join me over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, folks, that does it for me here on the American Journal, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm actually still going to remain in place because I'm actually going to go on with Alex in just a little bit to break down everything that we've uncovered so far regarding Arctic Frost. Now, there's a lot happening there. I told you Alex's name popped up in the document dump from yesterday, but I'm calling around. I'm getting my sources together and we've got a lot to discuss. So head on over with me to the Alex Jones Show. That's up next. Don't go anywhere. I'll be on with Alex in just a bit. Until then, though, I'll see you all here again tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
There is a white supremacy problem, and it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this. Watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am? I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carbo and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do, but I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the tree of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that, but not according to the left. They are just whole hog. Let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you, and this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.